When something comes up to me, he don't even try. Cause if I had a set of wings, man, I know she could fly. She's my little goose coop. You know what I love.
Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And when you hear that music, you know it's time for the car show with our friends from Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. Ken and Kenny Chartel, father and son, are here in the studio with us and clearly are experts on anything you could possibly ever want to know about your vehicles, your car, because they are amazing and have a great shop right there in Gulf Breeze. Good morning, Kenny and Ken. Good morning, Meg.
Glad to be here, as always.
Yeah, so tell us about Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze in case someone's not familiar with you guys.
Well, of course, we've been repairing vehicles along the Emerald Coast for over 30 years now. Reached that milestone in December, and wow. Of course, we've been in the same location there, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. And, of course, you can always reach us to schedule an appointment at 850-932-0811. And we're always there to take care of all your heavy and light maintenance repairs, whether it be an oil change, brakes, or AC not working, or even, heaven forbid, an engine replacement if it comes down to it. Everything except for tires and exhaust, we're your shop to bring it to. So we hope that you enjoy our show as much as we like giving out the information.
Well, there you go. So this is the time, once again, to send in your comments and questions. 850-437-1620. They are here to answer your questions and help you and give you recommendations that might just save you some money in the long run. So speaking of that, I understand you have a pretty good topic for today, which might save some people money in the long run. What would that be?
Well, speaking of long runs, I think that's what we're trying to get at here, Miss Meg. Yeah, we're all about
See
the
how
long
I did
run.
That.
I like that, you know.
Let yeah. that right in.
Yes, there you go.
That's nice. And yeah, the topic today is kind of how to extend the life of your vehicle, you know, getting to that 200,000 mile mark if that's where your plan on your vehicle is, you know, at that point. Really, it boils down to, you know, a couple of things. You know, making sure that that vehicle gets to 200,000 miles requires you as a vehicle owner and a responsible one at that, making sure those oil changes are done and the fluids are done consistently. Consistent maintenance matters more than vehicle, you know, than you know. As far as that goes, there's always many things that you'll find along the way that may need repair during that 200,000 mile mark. But at the end of the day, proper maintenance, paying attention to those noises that weren't there before, and maybe those fluids that you're noticing on your driveway that weren't there either, you know, are the things and red flags you need to be aware of to make it to that milestone.
Right. And, you know, most vehicles die from neglect. So you got to take care of them, keep that oil changed. Like Kenny said, if you hear a noise, get it in, get it checked, because it's probably cheaper in the long run to do it sooner than later.
So often we hear customers come in and they say, you know, well, of course, it's now in the shop making a grinding noise or something. I'll use that as an easy example.
How'd that go again?
Sometimes a little more, but it depends on how far they've gone with that. So the can always depend.
It starts out small.
But it starts off, well, I noticed actually there was a slight squeak, you know, only when I'd hit the brakes, and now it became a grind. Well, you know, that little indicator, that ignoring that small indicator right there could have saved you a lot of dollars on a brake repair that, you know, as far as maintenance goes, has to be done. But now that we've let them go farther than they've been designed to, we're replacing more parts, and that, of course, brings the bill up.
Right, more parts than you really needed, because now you're going to need a rotor, possible caliper, things like that. So, you know, what could have been a simple brake pad change and turn the rotors turns into a major ordeal at that point.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I'm sitting here thinking you must be, both of you, great interpreters, because people come in and they have to mimic the sound they're hearing. I just did it. They walked in the studio and they went in here 2 seconds. I said, I am hearing this little stutter in my car, and I made the sound. You must get that all the time. Is that, how do you interpret these things? I mean, that just made me think about it, because you just did like 4 different sound effects.
Yeah, actually, now that you bring it up, that's a good point, man.
Clearly a skill of understanding what they're, because the first thing you went, was it a CTR? Oh, that sounds like a CTR.
CVT transmission.
I said, oh, I'm glad I got that right.
You know, when you're in a doctor's office and they're talking to you about all these things, and you're going, yes, that sounds great. I have no idea what that means.
Right? Yes.
Sometimes we get that look on customers' faces, too, because we get it. It's unknown things, and then when you have to hear noises from the car you've never heard before, I get it.
I thought it was great that you knew from the noise I made, you knew what it was. It's wild.
And it is pretty amazing how often we get the noises, and, I think I know what you might be talking about. And, yeah, it's too funny. We joke about that a lot in the back of the shop. We're quite the... inspectors. Oh, the word I'm looking for is behooving me. But
sound effects.
Well, sound effects experts.
Yeah, we're detectives for these cars. We're always backtracking from the point of failure to when it happened and why it happened. You know, we've now got a major coolant leak, but it started with this smaller coolant leak.
Oh,
or the neglect here is now the result of this. And sometimes, as we always say, now we get the rest of the story from the customer once we filled them in on our findings. And they go, well, you know, it's funny. I had a little bit of an antifreeze smell prior to this whole radiator just blowing on me and now dumping all this antifreeze on the ground, you know. But, yeah, so that little clue, that smell of antifreeze, that eat on the brakes, and any other noise effects that you might have going on in your head that your car is making, I'm sure we probably got a fix or a clue for that, too.
Well, you know what I've learned from both of you in the last couple of months you've been on the show is to pay attention to what your car is trying to tell you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We
right?
We do it with our bodies. We know how... You know, what cracks in the morning and when we sneeze, et cetera. And so often we neglect the car, which is our main mode of transit. It's a major investment for us in our to and from vehicle. Without it, we're stuck at home.
Well, we've got a question that just came in from one of our listeners and wanted to know, y'all were talking earlier about your services. Just out of curiosity, why don't you service tires and work on exhaust systems?
Well,
sell tires, I'm sorry.
There's a couple of reasons, but go ahead, Pops.
There's a few reasons. There's quite a few places that do tires. It's a hard industry, and you need a lot of room to be able to move the vehicles in and out much quicker. And ours being a smaller shop, and we do a lot of more heavier line work, and we do, you know, of course, do the oil changes, but I just never really got into the tire end of it. And the alignment end and the exhaust, just because. I can't really give you an exact reason.
What would you say your specialty is, Ken, after all these years? What are the things that you really know your stuff?
Fixing the car right the first time.
Okay, then.
I mean, a good philosophy maybe to answer that question. You know, in order to do a job right, you got to go deep. You got to know and understand what you're working on. And we don't work on just Hondas. We don't work on just Chevrolets. We don't work on just Mercedes. We work on all of them. And because of that, each system is designed a little bit different. They have different engineers and different ways of thinking and going about those systems. So we really have to know it all. And that being said, when you try to go too wide, at least in affordable automotive's philosophy, if you start going too wide with your services, now we're doing brakes and exhaust, it's tough to stay good at what we've always been tried and true at, and that's, you know, diagnosing and fixing the problem right the first time, but always staying, you know, heavy into the mechanical aspect of the repair. Again, as Pop said, there's a lot of tire repair shops up and down the road, but we want to stay focused on the mechanical repair. And, you know, when you're good at something, why change a good thing? And our techs that we bring in also have the same philosophy as well. You know, they like getting their hand. We like figuring out these problems. While they may not be the easiest to figure out sometimes, we all like patting ourselves on the back when we go, dang, that one was a bit tough, but I got to the bottom of it. And for future reference, this experience will now go with me. So,
right. And then you'll find a problem, and that's a real good feeling once you find a problem that you've heard that the car's been to multiple shops and no one's been able to figure it out. And, you know, I pat myself on the back when we do figure it out.
We like being the hero, but we're not always the hero.
We're not always the hero, no.
But we definitely try and like to be, you know, when we can. And
30 years of experience makes a big difference. All right, I'm going to test you guys. I got a question that just came in from one of our listeners. When my car heats up, I hear a knock under my hood. Any idea what this could be?
Well, if it's a knock, like a knock, 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 that's maybe not a great noise. But if it's a tick, 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 that might be a little bit better off.
Right, right. So it depends on how bad the knock is.
If
If you have an oil pressure gauge, kind of look at that. And is the oil pressure low?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a sign of low oil pressure.
Check that oil level if it's got a dipstick.
That's where I was going that too. Yeah. If it has a stick, definitely check it and make sure. And, you know, it could be, hey, the oil's getting ready to, you know, it needs changing. So as the oil gets older and things like that, it starts losing its qualities to lubricate these parts. A lot of times once you start getting a heavy knocking noise, though, that's usually not good. It's usually something internal and what I call low end of the engine.
So they need to bring it in.
Yeah,
bring
at
it
that
into the
point,
shop.
I'd limit the driving at that point, you know, and try
to get somebody to look at it.
Absolutely, because...
decipher what your noise is.
Not that it may be an easy fix, but at least at this point, you know what you got before it leaves you on the side of the road, and that's never a good thing either.
We're talking with Ken and Kenny Chartel with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. Tell them their number and how they can reach you so this customer can call you and get that knock looked at.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you give us a shout at 850-932-0811. Mark, our service writer, has been with us for 7 years, so he knows a lot of these knocks and noises, too, whenever you're asking him and describing to him what our issues are, your issues are on the vehicle. And then, of course, he translates those into some notes and...
We're calling it the Car Care Show. Maybe it could be understanding the car symphony.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and all the different parts and players and pieces, right?
And often we have to call. We make a second call to the customer. Hey, we've done some diagnosing, trying to figure out this rattle or suspension noise, or maybe a knocking underneath the hood that comes about only when it gets warm. You know, we definitely try to take the time to give a customer a call. Hey, can you describe in detail a little bit more? If it helps us diagnose the problem prior to us just replacing parts, we're going to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of these parts are easily replaceable anymore, and you really need to know what you're looking at before you start quoting things like that.
Okay, so. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and this is The Car Show, your chance to ask any questions or make any comments at 850-437-1620. We opened the show in talking about car maintenance. So my question would be, okay, it was cold for a while, and we talked a little bit about taking care of your vehicle in the cold weather, but it's definitely warming up. So now there's some new things to look for, right?
Yeah.
Yes, now everybody's complaining that their air conditioning doesn't work.
I don't need the heat anymore.
I don't need the heat.
Right,
that broke last year, but I don't need it anymore. Now I need the air conditioning.
But absolutely, you know, after that... that winter season, you know, with the hotter weather coming, one thing that we advised everybody to check is their tire pressure. When that cold air comes, you know, that tire pressure drops. Well, when the temperature rises, so does that tire pressure. So, of course, it's a good idea to just do a quick check and make sure that the inflation isn't too high above what that sticker says on that driver's side door jamb. And again, that's where you're going to find what the manufacturer recommends the tire inflation be at for everything from all your tires to your spares. So that and along with checking your fluids. You know, again, as we always harp on the oil changes, but darn, we see it all too often that a customer has a complaint engine light knocking, ticking, and we pull that dipstick only to find they're either way over on an oil change or they just haven't checked it within that time of the oil change and they're completely out of oil. And that's just the way it is. And so a couple quarts, it starts running good again.
Yes, because with the variable valve timing, it really depends on oil pressure. And if you're low on oil, you can't create the right oil pressure, so the systems can't work the way they need to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I was on the road this past week, I was noticing how different people drive, their idea of when to turn a signal on, when to accelerate,
turn
when
signal,
to brake.
What's that?
Yeah, I know. And so I was thinking about that because it occurred to me when you're talking about the maintenance of your vehicle, how much does my actual driving affect the longevity of my
Great
car
question.
And the engine? I mean, does it affect it? Does it make a difference?
Absolutely. I mean, that makes a huge difference in your driving. Style.
So what are some tips that I can maybe better my driving skills?
Well, I would say one thing, if you're coming up to that light right about now, don't hit the brakes right when you get to the light. Look
start
ahead.
Start a little sooner.
You know, look two or three cars ahead. Start hitting those brakes a little bit sooner. Remember, the harder you hit those brakes at the last minute, the more it's going to wear them out quicker. You know, it's harder on that suspension. Now all that that keeps that ride nice and soft is now getting stopped abruptly. Mm-hmm. So your driving style is a major effect on how long the life of the vehicle operates, too.
And your fuel economy. And the price of gas these days. So, you know, if you're hard on a pedal taking off from that light, that's, that's harder on the vehicle, too, than an easy acceleration out. A hard stop's hard on the vehicle, too, than a mild stop.
What about the overheating? How do I control that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's definitely something you need to keep your eye on with that temperature gauge.
Well, that's part of your maintenance again and checking your fluids. So when the oil, when you bring it in to us for an oil change and a check over, those are all the fluids we're going to check. Make sure that little reservoir is full and the radiator's full. Kind of look for leaks and see anything that might be seeping. And sometimes you can have a leak and it's not going to leave anything on the ground. It's a small leak, but over time you end up losing that quart or half gallon worth of fluid, and that engine is designed to run on whatever, you know, if it takes 2 gallons of coolant, then it needs that 2 gallons of coolant. They don't give you a lot of fudge factor on this.
And we had mentioned, you know, earlier about smells, you know, and antifreeze and sweet smells. Sometimes you can have a small leak out of a hose or a water pump or a thermostat, you know, just the age of the vehicle and a gasket go bad. And that small drip, if you will, may not make it to the ground because the engine only, you know, it only happens when it's hot and it may steam off. So be mindful of that sweet smell, you know, in the air, because if so, whenever you're getting out of your car and you notice that, that could be the sign of a small coolant leak happening underneath your hood.
Right. That's exactly right, because the engine block is really hot, and if the leak is high up, and then the it's going to steam away before it makes it to the ground. You're not going to notice it. Now, oil leaks are a different thing. Those you're going to see. So oil leaks, those you're going to see. And you know, again, all engines use oil, and with these advent of everybody going to farther and farther on their maintenance programs, you know, all manufacturers are, and people just aren't checking the fluids between oil changes. Years ago, it was 3,000 miles, and, you know, if you had a small little leak, that was nothing, but now, you know, some of these manufacturers are going 10,000 miles between oil changes. Well, that engine is going to use oil. It is going to use a little bit of coolant in that time. So keeping up with your maintenance, you know.
Super important. Okay, I've got some questions rolling in from our listeners. How often should you clean your radiator?
Well, again, this comes down into driving styles.
You should have seen the reaction to that question.
You know, how often are you on the interstate? How are you? How much are you driving in South Florida love bug weather kind of thing? I lived down there for a period of time. And
correct.
I can tell you the love bugs at a certain time are pretty ferocious. And, yeah, I mean,
they go into the radiator through the grill and start plugging up the radiator, which starts causing an overheat problem. Again, there's not a lot of fudge factor on the size of the radiator, so it needs every square inch. Now, you get a bunch of that covered up with dead bugs on there.
Dirt.
Dirt, mud, anything
leaves,
like that.
Leaves.
Absolutely.
Yep. So how often should they get it checked?
I mean, honestly, it's not really a service that anybody does so much these days unless it's more of an off-road vehicle and it's got built-up debris on that radiator. You know, a lot of times these radiators are encapsulated around shrouds and ducting and behind that big bumper that they have on the front of the vehicle. And so really they don't get as dirty as you might think. Yes, we're talking about bugs, and depending on how you drive or where you're driving at, I guess, certainly worth inspecting. But outside of replacing the radiator, there's really no cleaning it per se. Now, one thing you could do if you've got access to the radiator, which few do these days without taking off a bunch of parts, but you can actually, you know, backwash it by taking, you know, your regular garden hose and then just spraying back through the backside of it. If there's some debris that's going to fall out, that'd be your best way to get it out at that point.
The systems internally, actually, the coolant that they make now, most of it goes around 5 years, going back to your original part of your question, but the part that happens and why you end up having to backflush a radiator is because you did have that leak. You kept adding water, never added any antifreeze. The antifreeze is the lubricant and also keeps the engine block from rusting internally. So if you keep up with your coolant like you should, then really it's about once every 5 years or 150,000 miles that it should be done at.
Great questions coming in. We just have a few minutes left, so we're going to try to get to them all. This one is from one of our listeners, is asking, any idea what may cause dashboard lights to dim temp randomly, and not only when they're running the AC? I've seen that where you're driving along and your dashboard lights just dim a little bit, and then they come back. What does that mean?
Well,
because I've had that before in the past.
Okay,
I know what they're talking about.
Some of them, it depends, like on the weather. If you have automatic headlights, so when the sun is shining on a dashboard, the headlights are off. Now, there's a sensor on the dashboard that when the sun gets to a certain amount of light that it's seeing, it turns the headlights on automatically. And so when the headlights come on, the dashboard dims. Because that's, you know, for nighttime, you know, so it's not glaring. You have that little control there that you can change. But, and then you came out of that tunnel, and all of a sudden now the sun's hitting it again, and the headlights go off, and the lights get brighter, if that's what they're kind of
meaning. And now this is where the specificity comes in, because you're thinking one direction, and I'm thinking another direction.
I've had it happen with not all of that. I've had it just randomly, that just suddenly they'll dim.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe we might have a possible electrical issue, you know, that AC system puts a heavy load, electrically speaking, if our battery is weak or our alternator isn't able to keep up with that load. When the headlights are on, you know, that could be a possibility as well. A lot of times you'll get some indication, like a battery light or symbol on the instrument cluster, an engine light, or a lightning bolt.
Right, or a slow start.
But this is sometimes where we have to call back the customer and say, what exactly was it doing, you know?
So this
and
person should call you or bring their car into the shop to
say
what's going on.
We'd love to talk with them a little bit more and have them come by, see if we could diagnose their problem. Again, we're at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. We're located a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo and always at 850-932-0811.
Okay, we've probably got time for this last question. My AC needs coolant added once or twice a year. I must have a leak, but I don't drive the car every day, but I want to avoid a big repair. Can a small leak be repaired inexpensively?
I presume we're talking about AC.
Yes.
Yes.
And so,
yeah, I mean, it could be an O-ring. There's lots of connections. All these hoses and tubes where they connect up to the evaporator, to condenser, those are all connections. And there are O-rings there, and those O-rings over time do fail. And then you'll get a little bit of seepage out of it, and yeah, it stays full for a year, but then you got to top it off a little bit. And it might not be completely flat comes next year, but
just enough that it's not cooling good anymore. And another area that is those service valves where you fill that AC system. They can sometimes, and they're just like the tire valve where you fill air in your tire, but the same thing for your AC system. And they sometimes cannot leak seal and leak just enough. So.
Just enough that over time it causes you to lose a refrigerant. And then once the refrigerant's gone, it doesn't cool as good.
So what am I seeing when I park my car, I pull out of the parking spot, and there's a puddle?
That's condensation coming from your evaporator.
That means it's working good.
That means it's working good. When you see a big puddle, that means it's working good.
Yeah, I mean, that condenser is going to condense that air because it's drawing all that moisture out of the inside of the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's drying that air. Thank you, yes. And so you're going to see that puddle on our hot days on any of your vehicles. If you're not, that can also be another issue because there's a drain tube there. And like our home AC units, we all have to make sure we maintain that drain. The same goes for our car, and we've seen those plugged up before. And now it's not draining on the ground. It's draining on the fat passenger floorboard, and my feet are getting wet. So if you're having that issue, give us a call. We can take care of that. But, you know, the same thing goes.
I hear water slashing around under the dash.
It's not
okay,
normal.
Okay, guys, we're out of time. Please tell us how we can get in touch with you, where you're located, all the good information.
Of course, we're 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway, located a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo at 850-932-0811. Come see us. We'll get you fixed right up.
All right. If you have a question that didn't get answered today, definitely give them a call. This has been the Car Care Show with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, and our hosts have been Ken and Kenny Chartel. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Meg.
Thank you, Meg.